Blog Talk Radio.
Have you heard the news?
Jesus is coming soon.
Have y'all heard the news? Get ready.
He's coming as a thief and a robber.
Get ready.
sign is on the wall. Handwriting is on the wall. Russia, you better get ready. Kazakhstan, you better get ready. Iraq, you better get ready.
Have you heard the news? Jesus is coming soon. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the First Baptist of Holly Springs Bible Study Power Hour. It is July the 25th, year of our Lord 2023, and you're listening to the First Baptist of Holly Springs Bible Study Power Hour. I am the pastor, Reverend Michael Rogers. I'm glad you have joined us this evening. First Baptist is located at 208 Grigsby Avenue, in the city of Holly Springs, North Carolina, where you are cordially invited to come and be a part of our Sunday morning service. Each Sunday morning at 10 a.m., we are in the sanctuary. You can come and be a part of the services of First Baptist. We would appreciate your attendance. We thank God for those who are coming. We thank God for those who intend to come. But you can come and be a part of our service each Sunday morning. We are in the sanctuary at 10 a.m. each Sunday morning. You're cordially invited to come and be a part of the services of First Baptist of Holly Springs. We invite you also to go to our Facebook page. Go there. Don't forget to like and then share so others will know that First Baptist is on Facebook. There you can find more information about First Baptist. You can find the Bible study that you're listening to right now. You can also find the link if you would like to hear the Bible study over the internet, or you can call in. That number is area code 845-241-9839, area code 845-241-9839. You can call that number, and you can be a part of the Bible study tonight. Also on the Facebook page, you'll find Sunday morning service. If you are out of the area and you cannot come to First Baptist, you can watch our Sunday morning service. As I said, each Sunday morning at 10 o'clock, we go live on Facebook. So you can be a part of the services via Facebook if you cannot come to First Baptist. We will be looking for you to be there, be a part of the rich religious experience of First Baptist. We thank God again for all of you who are on the line tonight, those of you who are listening over the internet, and those of you who will hear this Bible study long after it's been recorded. We pray God's blessing upon you. I want to thank First Baptist and the Youth Department for a wonderful youth day on last Sunday. We had Vacation Bible School as well. And I want to thank all of those who worked so diligently to make sure that everything went well for Vacation Bible School. I want to thank Sister Frances Douglas. I want to thank Trustee Jean Mangum. And, of course, the ministers, Minister Edwin McCullers and Sister and Minister Gwendolyn Lassiter. I want to thank all of you for great work that you have done. And I want to thank those parents, too, who allowed their children to come to Vacation Bible School. We thank God for you as well. We pray that our children will be safe during the summer vacation, that they will be diligent and learn their lessons as the summer goes on. This is an opportunity for them to do some reading and to do some writing during the summer break. School does not end when school is over. Our children need to learn even during the summer break months. So hopefully they will be doing some reading, doing some math, and doing some enrichment during this summer vacation. We want to pray for those who are on the sick list, those who are in the hospital, those who are in the rest home, those who just find themselves in various difficult situations. We pray God's blessing upon you as well. We hope that things will work well with you. We noticed that there are a lot of people who have lost loved ones, people who have had just regular losses in life. And, of course, we need to pray for them because we know that it could be us. It might be their week this week, but it can be our week next week. So we must be prayerful and thankful to God for the blessings that he has bestowed upon us. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you for this Bible study. We thank you for those who are on the line, those who are listening over the internet. We pray, God, that as we go into our lesson tonight, that you will give us understanding and clarity that we may know what thus saith the Lord. We pray, God, for that you will allow your spirit to be with us tonight as we go through our lesson. Thank you, God, for the word that you have left with us, that in times like these, we can go into your word and we can find comfort for our souls. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right, tonight our lesson is called Judging Others. Judging Others, something that people love to do, judging others. We are coming out of the book of Matthew, Matthew the seventh chapter. We're going to go verse 1 through 6, and then we're going to skip down to verse 15 through 23. Matthew the seventh chapter, verses 1 through 6. And then we're going to skip down to verses 15 through 23. Judging others, something that people love to do. Jesus did not mean that we should not discern right from wrong or never conclude that a person has done something good or bad, legal or illegal. Rather, Christians need to avoid making harsh, hasty condemnations and accusations against one another. We may not know the heart of those we judge. We may have made honest mistakes. They may have done something good for good intentions. They may have been honest and open, truthful correction, or happily received suggestions from others. We may not know the mitigating factors that influence their actions, such as self-defense, actions to save a starving child. We must not personally judge someone in the sense of condemning them to punishment or to hell. If tempted to do so, we can pray for their salvation. Judges and juries are responsible for making decisions about someone's actions being legal or illegal. Laws and statutes have been written, and what possible punishments and sanctions are legal according to the law that is broken? We should never judge and condemn anyone on the basis of our personal opinions or those of our party or some other group. Rather, the Bible, the revealed word of God, is what we use. The revealed word of God is the only infallible, objective standard by which we as Christians can prayerfully and lovingly call individuals, groups, churches, and nations accountable to repent. As Christians, we can stand before religious and political leaders and tell them when their advocate for something is controversy to the revealed law of the Bible. When something is contrary to the revealed law of the Bible, we have the right to speak on that. Jesus Christ is Lord over all. So based on the Bible, we can speak out when a nation's leaders or a church's leaders or are doing something wrong or pursuing policies contrary to the law of God. But there may be consequences for us, even as Jesus and Paul suffered the consequences for declaring the will of God. Jesus did not mean that God will judge and condemn people based solely on their personal standards they have used when judging others while they themselves are violating the same standards. So when we get to this first verse, when we first start this verse, it says, judge not that ye may not be judged. You see, we should never judge or condemn anyone on the basis of our personal opinions or any political party or any group of people. We should judge only on the standards that God has set for us. Jesus Christ is Lord over all. And based on the Bible, we can speak out when a nation's leaders or a church's leaders are doing wrong or they're pursuing policies that are contrary to the laws of God. We have seen that over and over again in our own politicians and our own church leaders. When people are doing things or trying to put things into practice that are contrary to the will of God, things that would intentionally hurt others, things that would intentionally keep others down or keep others poor or keep others from coming to Christ. We must be on guard for that. We are the ones that are supposed to point out that type of thing and speak on it when it happens. Now, speaking on these things may cause consequences in our lives, and those consequences we have to deal with. Jesus spoke often to correct those who were wrong. Peter spoke often on those who were wrong. Paul spoke often on those who were wrong. Of course, they had to deal with the consequences. And consequences will always come whenever you declare the word of the Lord. In verse 2, for with what judgment you judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. See, Jesus did not mean that God will judge and condemn people based solely on their personal standards they have used when judging others while they themselves violate the same standards. People sometimes condemn others for doing things God wants done. Jesus, Peter, and Paul, and other disciples were condemned by religious leaders for doing what God wanted and said to be done. See, people do tend to condemn others for the very wrong things that they themselves are doing or attempted or prone to do. From this verse, we learn that others will tend to judge and condemn us based on how we have judged and condemned others. If we are harsh and hasty, unsympathetic in making judgments of others, others will judge and condemn us because we are harsh and hasty and unsympathetic. Furthermore, whenever we break a law, they will tend to judge us harshly, hastily, and unsympathetically, just as we have judged others. So in verse 3 it says, and why beholdest thou the smoke that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? This smote or this speck may be smaller than a piece of chaff, which can be used sometimes and get into the eye when someone is threshing wheat. Christians are not to always be looking for what is lacking or wrong in the lives of others and then condemning them or trying to correct them based on their own perceptions of right and wrong and what is proper and improper. Some people are judgmental and condemning or unsympathetic toward others, period. You see, a good person may be 99% right when doing something, but the wrong 1% part may open the door for someone else to point out to them the 1% where they were wrong instead of thanking God for the 99% that they were right. This problem becomes even worse when a person is always gossiping about the specks or the beams in the eyes of others. Some people always seem to be looking on focusing on something that is lacking in someone. Some people are always looking to find something wrong in the lives of others. They want everyone to be perfect, just as they think they are perfect. Though living support correction may be helpful to someone, we need and want to be 100% right, but no human can be 100% right 100% of the time. Many people are prone to focus on what is lacking or wrong in the lives of others while never doing anything about examining their own lives and correcting what is wrong within them. It may very well be that those who focus on the 1% wrong and others are 99% wrong within themselves. In verse 4, it says, or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the smote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? No doubt some may think that they are being helpful when they notice the sins of others, and when they point them out and try to help the person overcome their sin. However, it may be very well be that we have plenty of sins in our own lives that we are refusing to deal with or even notice. Perhaps we need to spend more time reading the Bible and praying for the Lord to show us where we are failing and where we are falling short and where we need to change. And maybe by praying, he will help us to seek that change. Some would certainly have more time to pray for the divine help and courage to change if they spent less time trying to change the lives of others and others who are around them. Jesus called them hypocrites in that fifth verse. thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shall thy see clearly to cast out the smoke out of thy brother's eye. A hypocrite condemns others for doing the wrong that they themselves are doing, if not outwardly, then within their hearts. Unhappily, perhaps many of us have heard of someone who crusaded against a specific evil, who was later accused and convicted of a crime involving that same evil. We see that over and over again in the news and in the church. There have been many people, many church leaders who have spoken out about various things that people do. And then those same people, those same leaders are caught in the same situation. There is something to say for the old notion that when we point a finger at someone else for doing something wrong, that we have three fingers pointing back at ourselves. Perhaps some hypocrites, they condemn others because within themselves they know how very wrong their behavior is and they want to change. But they do not seek the help of the Lord to free them from their slavery of sin. Instead, they point out the sin in others that they so easily recognize in themselves. I've seen that over and over again. People who have gone through, who were perhaps alcoholics or people who were perhaps on drugs, when they see other people who are alcoholics or people who are on drugs, they have a harsh way of dealing with them, even though themselves, by the grace of God, just came out of that same situation. On the other hand, those being condemned by someone else may readily see that the condemning person is knowingly or unknowingly committing the same sin, then use that as an excuse for not making some needed change. If we are prone to condemn others for something, at that very point, we may need to spend some time in prayerful self-examination to see if we are guilty of practicing the same sin too and need Jesus to forgive us and help us make that change. In verse 6, give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast thy pearls before swine, lest they trample under them underfoot and turn again and rescind you. Without condemning, correcting, or criticizing someone, Jesus indicated that Christians do need to examine and discern the thoughts and actions of others as best as possible to know whether or not sharing the gospel faith with them will result in the rejection of Jesus Christ or and the persecution of others. In Matthew 10:16, Jesus warned, "See, I am sending you out like sheep in the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves." When considering then where and whom we should share the gospel of Jesus Christ, we need to pray for the Holy Spirit to show us when someone may be ready to receive the good news of Jesus instead of violently rejecting Jesus or persecuting them. Christians will be persecuted, but Jesus did not command Christians to invite persecution upon themselves or others, especially when there are still many people who need to hear the gospel, who would rejoice when they learn about Jesus from their testimony. And sometimes I find that Christians are very famous for that. We like to throw people down and shove Jesus down their throat. And a lot of times that turns people off. Instead of building them up, we are tearing them down. Instead of bringing them to Christ, we are chasing them away from Christ. We must understand that when we come before people like that, we have to ask the Holy Spirit to show us and to give us the right words to say so that we can encourage and lift up others that they may understand the gospel of Jesus Christ. And not only that, we are to give them our testimony and then tell them what the Lord did for me, he can do the same thing for you. Let's skip down to verse 15. Verse 15 says, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are raving wolves. To avoid throwing their pearls of Christian faith and wisdom to those who have discerned as dogs or swine, Christians must examine and differentiate those who hate Christianity and disparage the Bible from those who appear to be open to hearing the good news of Jesus Christ. Similarly, Christians must pray and study the Bible to examine and differentiate those who appear to love Jesus and the Bible, but who are false prophets who would destroy their faith in Jesus and the Bible if given the opportunity. From those who truly love the truth and want to teach them the truth of Jesus Christ, preachers and teachers who secretly hate or do not love Jesus and the Bible are just as dangerous, if not more so, to believers than those who openly hate Jesus and the Bible. You see, there are a lot of false prophets, and false prophets can slowly and quietly lead believers away from God and the truth, whereas atheists and unbelievers and persecutors can almost force unbelievers to draw closer to Jesus as their only hope of salvation. In either case, regular prayerful Bible study with the help of the Holy Spirit and trustworthy teachers remain essential for Christians to avoid walking into traps or being misled by false teachers. You have heard it said many times, beware of false prophets. Beloved, you got to remember that prophecy is a part of the ministry of God. There are prophets and there are prophecies that we need to hear. But you turn around today and you find a prophet on every corner, in five and six in every church. And it seems to me that if we have that many prophets, then things should be better than they really are. Let's go to verse 16. You shall know them by their fruits. That's what I mean by that. You should know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Sometimes believers can distinguish false prophets and teachers from those who truly seek to teach the truth of the Bible and Jesus by looking at their fruit. Though some false prophets are very subtle and passive and persuasive, false prophets and teachers can draw large crowds and make people feel real good. So this phenomena should not be considered a reliable guide for evaluating the fruit that they bear. Christians must use the Bible rightly, interpret the Bible. Many false teachers and prophets misuse and misinterpret the Bible as the standard by which to test whether someone is preaching or teaching the truth. Historically, the church has upheld certain key doctrines or teachings as essential to belief and remain Christians and to remind Christians in thought, word, and deed. Those doctrines based on clear teaching of the Bible can be used as a measure for testing. I'll say that again. Teachings of the Bible can be used as a measure for testing. Another test can be seeking to discern what motives a teacher or a preacher may have or a prophet may have. Sometimes we can see that a preacher or a teacher or a prophet is motivated by greed or selfishness, or self-seeking, or grandizement, rather than by supreme love of God, Jesus and the Bible as well, and the love for others. And these sins have a detrimental impact on their teaching. Finally, to discern truth from false teachers, though it can be more subjective and is sometimes a futile guide, we can ask ourselves some of these questions. Does this teacher or this preacher or this prophet increase my faith and trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior in the Bible, as the infallible word of God written? Or does this person sow seeds of doubt and untrustworthiness of Christ as our Savior? And does this person teach the Bible the way it is written? Is this teacher or a preacher or a prophet trying to convince me more that some other book or teaching is the word of God or a new revelation from God or Jesus? Does this teacher contradict the Bible or the clear teachings of Jesus Christ? Does this teacher emphasize what the Bible does not emphasize? Spiritual thorns and thistles can be doubts or temptations for us to sin and thought. We sin in thought, we sin in word, and we sin in deed. And these thoughts, words, and deeds are sown by false prophets and false teachers. So we must ask ourselves this question. Whenever we find ourselves in that situation, we have to discern whether we are in the right place or whether we are learning from the right people. Is the teacher or preacher trying to convince me of some other book or some other teaching is the word of God? Or someone comes up with a new revelation. They say they have a new revelation in the word of God. We have to be very careful about that. And we have to look at that and all the schisms that come into the house of God. We have to be very careful because spiritual thorns and thistles can be doubts and temptations for us in sin. Verse 17, even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. You see, a good tree will over time bear good fruit in season. A good tree will grow spiritually, increasingly, bearing the fruit of the Holy Spirit, as described in Galatians 5:22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Let me say that again. The fruit of the Spirit, the fruit, not fruits, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Among other things, a good tree will produce Christians or help at least some Christians become stronger in their faith in Christ. Believers who increasingly trust in the Bible, who show greater love for God, who want and seek the will of God to do the will of God, and those who seek to love and to serve others with Jesus being the example, and who increasingly bear the fruit of the Spirit themselves as Jesus delivered them from slavery of sin. These are the people that you should look for. You see, a bad tree will produce works of the flesh. You'll find that in Galatians 5:19-21. However, some bad trees can appear outwardly good and seem to serve as an example of good behavior, but they do not produce works that flow from love for the faith of Christ as their Lord and Savior. You see, many of the scribes and the Pharisees in Jesus' day can serve as example as bad fruits. They were in the church. They were doing all of the things that people do in the church. They were going through the motions, but they were producing bad fruit. In verse 18, a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. A good tree that loves and honors God the Father and his Son Jesus, that seeks to promote living according to the Bible as the Holy Spirit interprets and leads will help us and help others will bring forth good fruit, and their fruit will produce the same. In this world, even the best Christian will make mistakes and sin sometime, but when they do, they immediately repent and return to Christ. But a bad tree cannot do any of the above and have no desire to repent and have no desire to turn to Christ. They will continue to bring forth bad fruit. They will honor their bad fruit. They will commend their bad fruit. And they will spread that bad fruit from one generation to another generation to another generation. A bad fruit tree will produce bad fruit as long as that tree is producing fruit. Verse 19. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Hewn down, cut down. Bad trees represent people who are enslaved to doing the works of the flesh. Bad trees represent people who are enslaved in doing works of the world and works of the devil instead of working of the Holy Spirit. Read Galatians 5:13 through 26. Since bad trees are committed to producing bad fruit, all they are useful for is being cut down and burned. This verse serves as a warning to repent and turn to Christ for salvation and the gift of the Holy Spirit to do good works of faith that are acceptable to God. In verse 20, wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Having seen from the Bible the difference between good trees and bad trees, we know that bad trees need to come to Jesus in faith for salvation from slavery of sin and receive the gift of eternal life. Bad trees can become good trees only by the grace of God and by receiving the truth of the gospel of Jesus. Some good trees can prayerfully seek the Holy Spirit's guidance of it, when and how to share this good news of Jesus Christ and others. So, metaphorically, when Jesus is talking about trees, he's talking about people. When he's talking about fruit, he's talking about the children of those people and the production of those people and the actions of those people. You see, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. That's verse 21. That's a strong verse. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. You see, in the Bible, people sometimes use the Lord as a term to honor someone or to show respect for someone in a greeting. In the Bible, Lord can also be used as a respectful substitute for the name of God in the Old Testament, which was used as an official title for Jesus in the New Testament because Jesus is the Son of God. Those who honor Jesus in the first sense, perhaps as a greater prophet or wonderful moral teacher, but not as a Bible truly reveals Jesus. See, some people think of him as a prophet, or some people thought of him as just a great teacher, but they did not receive him as the Son of God. Likewise, those who honor Jesus with theological correctness, but do not honor Jesus by their behavior, who do not and do the will of God the Father, or obey the commandments of Jesus. See, there are those who are theologically correct, but they do not honor the Lord with their behavior. They don't honor the Lord with the will of God, doing the will of God, to obey the commands of Jesus. These people will not enter the kingdom of God. In the Beatitudes, Jesus describes some of the characteristics of those who would live forever in the kingdom of God. Verse 22. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wondrous works? In this part of the teaching, now this is part of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus reveals that it is possible for a heretic or a false prophet or a false teacher to prophesy or preach in his name, just like Jesus warned us. In the New Testament, people who, other than Jesus and his disciples, could cast out demons. There were many who could cast out demons. In Matthew 12, 26 and 27, Jesus told the Pharisees and the crowd, If Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? If I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your own exorcists cast them out? Therefore, they will be judged. You see, therefore, we should not follow a leader or a religion just because it appears to be religious or just because it appears to be doing the right thing or has the power to cast out demons or to work miracles. We shouldn't follow people because of that, because in biblical days, there were false teachers who could do the same thing. They could do the same thing, and people would come and applaud them and follow them. But we must do the will of God by loving and serving Jesus as our Lord and our Savior, by following the teachings of the Holy Spirit. There were many who could do miracles. It had the power to cast out demons. So we shouldn't let that excite us. A lot of people still are looking for alternative ways. They go down to the Seven Sisters down in South Carolina and Georgia and Louisiana, and they try to find gooby dust, or they try to find some kind of charm that will help them be better or get rich or whatever, find a husband or find a wife or whatever. You know, and people still believe in that today. Instead of asking the Lord for what you need, instead of asking God to supply your need, which he will readily do, sometimes we take it into our own hands and we mess things up. This last verse says, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Even today, a lot of people name drop to impress others. Someone might meet a movie star or see someone that is famous, and they want to, you know, drop names. I know so-and-so. Another way to know someone is for the two people who actually meet and develop a close relationship when you know someone, not because you just met them for the first time. And you hear people say over and over again, I know so-and-so, and they are personal friends of mine. Jesus expects his true followers to become personal friends of his. In John 15 and 13:15, Jesus described knowing him and having friendship with him in these terms. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friend. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you to servant as longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You see, evildoers use the same name of Jesus and pretend to be his friend if they can achieve some kind of personal or selfish advantage by doing so. Jesus will send people such as this away from him and say, I never knew you. So we must make the difference in between measuring and discerning and knowing who to speak to and knowing who to listen to and knowing who to follow. We must understand today that in this teaching, God wants us to, first of all, not judge people too critically, because we ourselves are nothing but sinners saved by grace. And if it was not for the grace of Almighty God, we could find ourselves in this same situation. You see, people do this as exhortations to build themselves up. This is one of the most important exhortations in the whole part of this sermon. By a secret and criminal deposition of nature, man always endeavors to elevate himself above others. And to do so more effectively, we depress them. You see, jealousy and envy hearts can cause us to not inspire people, but to depress them. We must know today that all of us have faults. All of us have sinned. All of us have repented of our sin, those of us who are in Christ, that is. Let me say that again. Those of us who are in Christ, that is, have repented from our sins, and we are praying that the Holy Spirit will keep us from temptation to go back into that sin. But the evil ones don't see no need for repentance. They think that everything they do is right. Whether it is right or wrong, they think that everything they do is right. And I have seen that in a lot of Christian people, particularly pastors and preachers and prophets. They think that everything that they say is right, and it comes directly from God. God told me to tell you this. God told me to tell you that. I often say to them, well, the Lord knows where I am. Why didn't he tell me that? I'm not cut off from God. God knows where I live. He knows where I am. God can speak to you directly. Let us remember that. Okay, we're going to go to the phones. There may be some who would like to chime in. We have a few people on the line tonight. And there may be some people who would like to chime in. Perhaps you have been through something like that. Maybe people have judged you. Or maybe you have a spirit of judging people. You know, we all do that. You know, we all judge people, whether we admit it or not. We all do that. But we must remember as
hey, Pastor.
Jermaine, I can hear you, but I can't hear anything else.
Okay, let's go to the line now. Let's see. Area code 919, last four digits, 5717. Are you on the line? Are you on the line? Hello? All right, let's go to area code 919. Last four digits, 3-4 on the line.
Hey, Pastor, I'm on the line.
3-4-4. Okay, could you hear me?
Well, we couldn't hear you for a while. I hung up and dialed back in. I didn't know something was wrong.
I don't know whether it may be a storm where the antennas are. Our antennas are coming out of Philadelphia, so it may be a storm.
Oh, I guess.
Did you hear the lesson?
Yes, I did.
Did you? Okay. What do you think of this lesson?
I thought as always when you hear something like that, you always search yourself. We tend to be so ready to judge. You can see somebody what they're wearing or whatever. It's a natural thing for us to do, and we have to catch ourselves in doing it. I catch myself doing it. But then also too as far as the discernment and stuff. It was interesting when you said fruit of the Spirit and not fruits of the Spirit, because fruit means there's fruit, there's different types, there's love, compassion, there's all of that within that, but it's the same fruit. And I never thought about it. I was thinking fruits, but it is the same fruit that's being produced. But yeah, it just made me do some self-reflection of myself. Even, of being judgmental about people. I have done it, and I have been wrong in doing it, and, sometimes that's costly, too, when you start doing that stuff. So.
Amen. Well, thank you. Thank you so very much. Let's go to 919-6615. Are you on the line?
Oh, yes, Pastor Rogers. 919.
How are you?
Yes, can you hear me? I'm good.
Yes, I can hear you.
I'm doing well.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I learned quite a bit about we're so quick to judge other people and make comments and things about other people, and after hearing this lesson, I think I'm gonna think about my faults first and try to examine myself before, judging somebody else based on, what I think, and just be more careful about judging. But it was a very good lesson, and I enjoyed it.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Area code 910, last four digits, 5088. Are you on the line?
Yes, I am, Pastor.
50. Good evening. How are you?
Enjoyed the lesson tonight and the judge on judging. And it sort of makes you, you know, it makes you think about when you see somebody and, you know, you begin to judge them and you really don't know what their full story is. You know, all of us have a story. And it's, we don't judge others.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
And thanks for the lesson. And I like what you said about praying and reading your Bible more instead of, you know, trying to judge others.
And
pray for discernment.
Exactly. Pray for discernment. Amen. Thank you. 919-3214. Trustee Maim, is that you on the line?
Yes, sir. How you doing?
Good evening.
Good evening. I enjoyed the lesson. I have a couple of things here to say. Do not judge. You know, in my understanding, in my reading, you know, Jesus is not suggesting that we have no right to make more judgments about human behavior.
That's right.
And of course, more judgment.
Right.
It's the ability to reason correctly about what to do in a persistent situation, you know, that judgment allows humans to make decisions and value judgments about what is right and what is wrong. But, you know, it makes little sense to approach a Christian brother or sister about their specific sin, or even if, you know, you should go rightly, you know, and to them, if you're committing the very same sin, and you're unwilling to address it or break free from it yourself. For example, too, like, you know, you might hear another believer, I just said cursing, and you, you know, lovingly correct he or she in private. But not a moment later, you get on the phone with a friend and share some juicy gossip about someone. I'm just saying, you know, do we correct someone else's tongue, but not, you know, willing to correct or restrain our own tongue?
That's right. That's right. And I and that's something that we are all guilty of, I guess. But some people make a habit of that, don't you think?
Yes, sir.
Some people, that's part of their personality. To judge other folk all the time. You're just judgmental all the time. And you're absolutely right. You know, we have our own faults, and we should spend more time in our own faults than in other people's faults. You know what I mean? It makes a big difference. And this is what this lesson is all about. This is what Jesus was trying to teach the crowd that was there that day. He wanted them, because, you see, back in those days, people were very judgmental because of the law. The Jewish law was very strict, and because the Jewish law was very strict, they were always somebody pointing fingers at somebody, you know. And even today we have the same thing. And we must know today that we cannot just point our fingers at folk, because we don't know the extenuated circumstance. People do a lot of things for because God told them to do it, and it may be something that God wants them to do, you know. And we can't judge people's actions because we don't know what's in their hearts, you know. But we do know the difference between right and wrong. We do that. We know that. And we know when we see good and we know when we see wrong. Another interesting part about this lesson that I thought was good was the fact that, you know, the Bible says that those who bear good fruit, a good tree will bear good fruit. I think that's very important. And we must realize today that we're not in this world just for ourselves, but for generations that will come after us. And if we want our generations to be strong and fruitful and faithful to the Lord, the tree has to be strong and faithful to the Lord as well. And that way we can teach it to our children, they can teach it to their children, and they can teach it to their children, and it goes on for generations. And I think that's one of the things that we must adhere to. And another thing that I thought was interesting was that when Deacon Fuller was talking about the fruit of the Spirit, the last one was self-control. I think a lot of people don't have self-control. And I think that's what causes a lot of us to fall into temptation and do things that we should not be doing simply because we cannot control our emotions or our habits or anything like that. Okay. Does anyone else have anything else they'd like to add? Anyone else like to add anything else? All right, let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you for this night. We thank you, Father, for this lesson. We pray, God, that you will teach us to not judge others on our own personal experience, but to seek knowledge from the Holy Word and to ask the Holy Spirit to help us to discern good from evil. We pray, God, that as we grow in the Spirit, as we grow as Christians, that you will give us the insight and the super sight and the spirit to know how to present ourselves to people. So many times, Lord, we speak harshly toward people, and we turn them away from the gospel. But, Father, we ask that you would give us the right words to say so that we can encourage those who are out of the ark of safety to come running crying, "What must I do to be saved?" Father, we thank you tonight for your many blessings, and we pray God's blessing upon all who are listening tonight. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Well, thank y'all. I hope you all were able to hear everything tonight, and pray that God will continue to bless each and every one of us Sunday. God bless you. Y'all have a good night.
Good night, everyone. Bye-bye.